Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services at the Kerwin Baptist Church located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Luke chapter 18, if you will, let's look at verse 18, and we're going to begin this morning. The Bible says, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, This man comes to Jesus, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." Notice how Jesus was saying, so you're calling me good. There's only one person good, that's God. And of course, Jesus was God, but he's trying to get this man to understand that. Look at verse 20. "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." Verse 21, "And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he had heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God." These three individuals that we're going to talk about today, the Lord referred to specifically all three individuals as rich men. And we're going to talk about this morning. Let's pray and then we'll dig in. Lord, we love you. We need your help. Thank you for the praise. Thank you for the good news. And God, we give you praise for that. We're thankful for doctors and technology and medicine, all those things that can help. But Lord, we want you to know, we know you bring healing. We give you the glory. I pray you'd bless so many of our people that have gone through things. We have so many people that are recovering from surgeries right now. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them. And Lord, we love you. We need your help today. May our people understand what we can learn from these three individuals. In Jesus' name, amen. This first individual I refer to, I'm going to refer to him as the Bible man. You'll find, number one, I want you to notice in verse 18, his search. He comes to Jesus and he says, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That's the question, really, isn't it? You can ask a lot of things this morning, but the only really important question that you need to ask yourself this morning is, do I have eternal life? Now listen, all of us have an eternal existence, but only those that are saved have eternal life. Those that are lost have eternal death. Yes, sir. Right. You'll never die, but you'll be dying for an eternity. So we understand this is the question, and this guy comes to Jesus on this search. By the way, nothing has changed since this passage. People still today, we have probably, I don't know how many Christian programming stations. We have preachers on Sundays. It used to be that, you know, preachers would come on Sunday mornings or different things, and it used to be there's just a few. Y'all remember the days that you could maybe get Ernest Angley? Y'all remember him? Say baby, baby, say, you know, that thing. I'm not making, that's how he did. There would be Ernest Angley. Thank God you get Jerry Falwell on and the old-time broadcast there. You know, you get that. There's just a few. Now, we got stations, we got satellites, we've got preachers. But people are more confused now and today than they've ever been. Because everybody wants to know, how can I really inherit eternal life? And dear friend, I'm here to tell you, you can't inherit it. That's an impossible thing. You can't just find out, you know, what is it that I have to do? It's not that. It's what Jesus has already done. You've got to realize, admit, believe that He is God. He is the Lord and Savior, that He died on the cross for your sins. And you place your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross. You can't inherit it. You can't just somehow attain it. You can't do good enough to get it. This man comes to Jesus and he says, "What shall I do? And how can I get eternal life?" His search. Notice second, his service. Jesus says, well, you know the commandments, don't you? And he begins to list just a few of them. He said, "Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother." And notice this man's service. He says, "All these have I kept from my youth up." This was a Bible man. He had crossed all the T's. He had followed all the rituals. He had performed all the duties. He literally thought, I have kept all the commandments. Now, had he?
No.
He just blew that one because he lied. But you know, there's a lot of people that still think that I can get to heaven by doing something, by keeping commandments, by performing this. This man did everything that he thought he could find in the Bible to do, and he was a ruler, and he was wealthy, and he had followed all the ritual and all these different things. And what's funny is Jesus, kind of the way he answers him, instead of saying, hey, you idiot. Yeah, you did break them. I'm God. I saw it. He didn't say that. Notice what he says. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said, yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, had he sold everything he had and just decided, all right, I'm going to start traveling around with the disciples, would that have saved him?
No.
So you say, why did Jesus, remember who Jesus is? He's God. He knows our hearts. He asked him a question because he knew the button to push to find out what this man was and wasn't willing to do. And he said, hey, sell everything you have then. If you're all about doing and if you're all about action and you're all about performing, why don't you just sell everything you have, give it all to the poor and follow me. And notice the Bible says in verse 23, notice his sorrow. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful. Why? For he was very rich. You see, I want eternal life, but I don't want to have to let go of everything to get it. I want what that can bring me, but selling everything and following you. You know, it's one thing if I just got a little bit over here, what's going to hurt? I'll just sell it all. But man, I've got a lot. He was sorrowful. This is the Bible, man. And we're going to explain all this in a little bit. And I want you to look at Luke chapter 12. Turn there very quickly. I'm going to go through these very quickly and we'll draw a close and be done. Look at Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 18, we have the Bible man. In Luke chapter 12, I like to call the businessman. Look at verse 16, if you will. And I want you to notice about this man in this passage, the businessman, we would call him. Notice first his prosperity. Look at verse 16. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain, here it is again, rich man brought forth plentifully. This man was prosperous. I mean, he obviously had probably a lot of property, was growing a lot of different crops and different things, and he was a very prosperous individual. And by the way, as I always say when I deal with this particular passage, who owns the ground? You say, well, I do. I've got a deed at my house. Yeah, when you die, who gets it? So it's really not yours. It might be yours while you're alive. Or until the bank forecloses, but it's not yours. You didn't create it. God did. He owns it. So for this ground to bring forth plentifully, I don't care how you look at it, it's all traced back to God. But this man thought it was him. Notice his prosperity. Second, notice his possessions. Look at verse 17. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I don't even have enough room to place all the things that are mine. I can't even contain it. And many of you that have lived around this area long enough in your life, you probably in your mind know some individuals that you've been here over the years and maybe you're out that you drive to work or drive to church, that you've gone by some of the same house as some of you for 30 or 40 years. And I'm dreading that already. Because I go nuts on my way to church driving through Kernersville every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Everybody's going 10 miles an hour in a 45. So I have plenty of time to look at the houses. Some of you over the years have seen it started with a house and then they added a garage and then they added on to the garage and then they added a shed in the back. Now, y'all don't get nervous, y'all. Some of you are like, oh Lord, is he? And then they added this other garage and then they added this. Why? Because we get more stuff and more stuff and more stuff and we got to have something to put all our stuff in. This guy didn't have enough room to put all of his stuff in. Man, this guy was not only prosperous, he had a whole bunch of possessions. Notice if you would, beginning in verse 17, notice his pride. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. It's mine. I did it. If you'll look at verse 17 all the way down, really the rest of the way, how many times he says I. It's all about him. Look at verse 18. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Pride, pride, pride. This is mine. I've done it. I'm the one that's accomplished all this. The businessman. And by the way, he was probably very, obviously, very good at business. Look, if you would, at verse 19. And this will I say to my soul. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Notice next his proposal. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to build these barns. I'm going to get all this stuff together. And then I'm going to just lay back, enjoy the rest of my life. I'm going to enjoy all the fruits of my labor. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink. I'm going to be merry. And I'm just going to sit back and look at all the barns and all the things that are mine. Yeah. Sounds good, don't it? You know what's interesting? This man says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Can I ask you something? What use does your soul have for things?
Right. Come on, preacher. You're right.
What he should have said was, and this will I say to my body. Because the soul has no use for those things. In fact, while he thought he was satisfying his soul, he was only satisfying his body. But while he was satisfying his body, he was condemning his soul to hell forever. His proposal. Notice, if you would, in verse 20, we see his problem. But God said unto him, thou fool. He started off as the rich man, and he ends up the foolish man. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So this was the problem, that the whole time he was putting all of his resources into the wrong place. Yeah. And he didn't take one second to think about his own soul. The Bible man, the businessman. Last, I want you to look at Luke chapter 16. Turn there very quickly. And then we'll draw all this to a close. This last guy is what I call the busy man. You have the Bible man that followed all the rules and did all the things. And then you had the businessman that was just consumed with all the things he was getting. And then we have here what I like to call the busy man. He was just too busy enjoying all the wealth that he had that he didn't even notice a beggar sitting right outside his house that needed something to eat. Notice, if you would, verse 19, there was a certain, here we go again, certain rich man, which was clothed, notice this, in purple and fine linen and fared, or means ate, and that word fared means not just eat, but it means entertainment. It means that his entire lifestyle was just luxurious. He fared sumptuously every day. Notice first this busy man, notice his prosperity. I mean, he had the finest clothes. I mean, he was like what I would call a term that you would understand, and don't be offended by this. He's the playboy. He's the guy that just, you know, he was just out enjoying all the things, showing up at all the clubs, you know, how they do nowadays. And they're just going to have everything that the world has to offer. And they're going to go meet these people and those people. And he probably drove the finest car and had all the clothes and make sure that he looked rich to everybody that came by. His prosperity. Notice verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. He would have given anything just to have the crumbs. Notice, moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. And the Bible never says one time that this guy ever gave any, even a crumb of food to Lazarus. He might have, he might not have. All I can see is that this man was so busy dressing to a T, eating, entertaining himself, enjoying life, and enjoying all this wealth that he had, that he never even took time to even think for one second of a person that was in need. Look, if you would, at verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Here we go again. The rich man also died, and he was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. People say, well, I'm going to get buried. I guess I'm just going to stay there in the ground. The Bible says as soon as this man was buried, he woke up in hell.
Yes, sir.
Verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I've heard people say, hey, I'm going to go to hell and have a party. Yeah, no, you won't. Just keep thinking that. He was immediately in hell and he was immediately in torments. Notice this. I want you to get this. Seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Notice not just his prosperity, but now notice his pain. Now he's in hell. He went from a life of luxury to a life of torment. And old Lazarus went from a life of nothing to a life of everything. Look at verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I'm tormented. Here we go again. In this flame. That means there's torment in hell. There's flames in this hell. It means hell is a place you'll go immediately after death if you don't have Christ. So much doctrine right here in this story. Now notice this, if you would. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Notice next his prison. He went from prosperity to pain, and he realized immediately that he would be in this prison for an eternity. Now, this was kind of a parable, but it used a specific individual, Lazarus. So this very well may have happened. This was real life. This was an individual. And do you realize, as long ago as the Bible was written, that that man is still burning in hell today? I know this isn't real Christmassy, but it's real truthful. Notice verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father. He went from prosperity to pain to prison, and now we see his prayers. I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Immediately he began to pray for his family after realizing what he would be in the rest of his life. You know, I wonder if it would take some of us maybe 30 minutes in hell to change how we pray for our families. So we have the Bible man, the businessman, and the busy man. All of them were wealthy. All of them had resources. All of them were rich. All of them had everything that really that their society and world had to offer. They had it all. But here's the Bible man. He had followed all the rules. And here's the businessman. He had done everything smart. And he had been very wise with money and different things. And here is the busy man. He's just enjoying all this wealth that he had. So you say, preacher, what is the entire point? I'm going to ask my guys to come help me. And let me try, if I can, to draw a comparison. And come on out here, if you will. And I'm going to ask Bible man right here, if you don't mind. Here's Bible man. There's businessman. I don't know what that is. Here's the busy man. Now, as these guys, I'll hold your Bible for you. I know it's going to be hard for you to... I'm sorry, Bible man, I know you don't want to part from it there for just a second. Now, these are my three individuals. Now, I want you to be able to understand, these kind of represent these three men in our passage. While they're all different, they all have very similar things, and you say, preacher, well, how is this applied to my life? So you see, now here's the Bible man, followed all the rules, and here's the businessman that had done everything wise. And here's the busy man that, you know what, he's just enjoying the wealth. The Bible says, you know, to eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy the things of life. That's what's good for us to do. And he's just out there enjoying life. Now, I want you to notice first thing, and I don't have all these on the cards, but I think that they'll understand this. Now, we have here, obviously, the Bible man. And let me give you the comparison. The first thing about the Bible man is this, that he trusted in his righteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that are doing that. Yes, sir. Boy, they look the part. Yeah. And they act the part. And they have done all, they have followed all the rules. And bless God, you know, they say, well, I've done this and I've done that. And I have memorized this. And I did this. And I spent this many days doing this. And I fast 50 days of time and all these things. He was trusting in his righteousness. The businessman, he was trusting in his resources. He had all this wealth accumulated and he thought, you know what, I can enjoy the rest of my life. Why? Because I have all these things to enjoy. And dear friend, I'm here to tell you, you're not going to enjoy the rest of your life just because you have things. You and I will only enjoy the rest of our life if we have the Father. Now, I don't have one for this because I had misplaced it in the papers, but this busy man down here at the end, he was kind of trusting in his recreation. He was just out. He was living. He was wearing the finest clothes. He was clothed in the purple and the fine linen. He was faring sumptuously every day. He was just enjoying life. And he was thinking, you know what, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to have me some fun. Every time he would get in his little Bentley and he would leave the garage and them automatic... I hope nobody has a Bentley. I kind of hope somebody has one because I would like to ride in it if you don't mind. But anyway, so it has these automatic gates, and every time them gates would open and that old Bentley rides out, here's old Lazarus on there. It's like, can I have just some crumbs? Can I have just some crumbs? And man, this guy's got the music blaring and he's got the top down and he's just driving out. You know how they do right there. So the Bible man, his righteousness, and the businessman was his resources, and the busy man was his recreation. And let me tell you another comparison. The Bible man, he was kind of what we call the performer. He's the one that did on the outside all the right things. You say, well, what's wrong with that, preacher? Nothing. The problem is when we're doing all the things that are right on the outside, but we're not right on the inside, that doesn't do one thing for our eternity in heaven. He was the performer. He's the guy that if it's the rules, I did it. Then we have the businessman, and he was what we call the planner. He's the one looking at his property, and he says, you know what, I got to pull down barns, I got to build greater because I got this crop coming in, and I got these things, and I've got to plan way ahead because I got a long life. I want to enjoy my life. I want to retire. I want to live with the finest things, and this is like my Wall Street guy right here. I mean, he's juggling everything, and I'm going to plan ahead, and I'm going to do this. And by the way, the Bible says we should plan ahead, and we ought to be wise with things. So you say, preacher, what's wrong with that? Oh, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I mean, this Bible guy, he was a performer, and we should do right. And the businessman was the planner. We should plan ahead. And the busy man, he was preoccupied. That's a way to follow the cue. He got it done. I left him out on the first one, and I didn't know if he would catch on. Preoccupied. He's just so busy with life. He didn't notice a guy that had need sitting right there at his front gate. May I ask you, how many of us are just preoccupied at Christmas? We got to get this, we got to get that, so we can do this, so we can have that. And oftentimes we're so busy that somebody sitting right outside our church has need, and we just walk right by them. May I say this about the Bible man? He was full of pride. All the things and the rules he had kept and the things he had done and all the accomplishments. And bless God, I don't do such and such like they do. And I don't do such and such like he does. And I don't live that kind of life. And I don't do this. And I don't listen to that. And I don't go there. And I don't this or that. And you say, what's wrong with that? Well, no, nothing's wrong with that. But dear friend, if that's what you're trusting in and if that's what you're proud of, you've got problems. Because the Bible says the best we could do is filthy rags in the eyes of Christ. So the Bible man was full of pride. The businessman was full of possessions. Man, he was pulling down these barns and said, man, I'm going to fill it up with this and I'm going to fill it up with that. And it was accumulation. I'm going to accumulate. And what, you know, if you think about it, what is the whole principle of accumulation? It's me, me, me. Now the Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. The Bible says, save for ahead. And the Bible says, be wise. Don't twist what I'm saying. I'm saying when your entire life is centered around me, full of his possessions. May I say this, that the busy man there in the end, he was full of prosperity. He didn't just have the possessions. He was enjoying them. From what I can tell, this businessman, he was still working hard and he's trying to gather this and plan out this. But this busy guy down here in the inn, he's just too busy to notice anybody else. He is literally enjoying all of his stuff. He is throwing money left and right. I mean, he's got the clothes, he's got the toys, he's got the things. And I wonder sometimes how many times you and us, we just get so busy wanting more toys, wanting more things. We think that's going to fill this void. May I say this about the Bible, man? He is what we call the doer. You know, if the Bible said do it, I did it. He's the doer. The businessman, he was the saver. He was, you know, I'm going to make sure and I'm going to get this and I'm going to be wise. I'm going to save this and that and that and that. And so here you go. Here, you know, and all these are good things. Here's the doer. Here's the saver. And the last guy, he's the enjoyer. I'm telling you, he's just going to get, I got it. I'm going to spend it. He might not have had kids, might not have been married, I don't know. The fact that he had a lot of money, I would say he probably wasn't married. The fact that he was clothed in purple and fine linen means he probably didn't have kids because they'd spill stuff all over it, you know. He was the enjoyer. He's just out there enjoying life. By the way, you know, our world is full of people enjoying life.
Yes, sir.
And the problem is they're going to hate death. May I say this about the Bible, man? These passages teach us that this Bible man, he was a burdened man. The Bible says when Jesus said, hey, if you'll just sell all that you have and give to the poor, the Bible says he was very sorrowful. Why? I want you to get this. This Bible guy that we read about, when he comes to Jesus, how do I get eternal life? And when Jesus says this, he was very torn inside. He was very conflicted. He was burdened. Why was he sorrowful? If he had all this money that he said he had, and if he was a rich young ruler, why was he so sorrowful? Because he was torn. He wanted his things, and he wanted eternal life, and he wanted all that this had to offer, but he knew what this prophet Jesus had to offer, and he was torn between the two, and he just couldn't let go of the thing. And you know what? We have a lot of saved individuals that are sitting in churches that are sorrowful. They're burdened. Why? Because they're trying to walk that fence. I want to enjoy the world over here, but I want to enjoy church over here. And the only way I'm going to enjoy church over here is if I go somewhere where the preacher don't say I do anything wrong. Because if you're reaching over here in the world and the preacher happens to preach against sin, you're not going to enjoy church. Y'all right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, let me tell you something. When I'm not right with God at times, you're like, a preacher has times when he's not right with God. This guy does. Let me tell you something. I put sermons on just about everywhere I go, and I love to be kicked in the teeth with preaching. I want to be told. I want to feel guilty. I want to get it right. Because you get to the point that you hear it and it doesn't even bother you. You are in a dangerous place in your life. He was a burdened man. There might be some of you today that are just torn. I'm saved. Why am I not enjoying my life? I'm saved. Why am I not enjoying being a Christian? There might be some of you here that have never been saved and you're torn on the inside because you hear Bible, you hear these things, you hear these verses, and you, well, I know, I think I believe that, but man, what would I have to give up and what would I have to stop doing and all? Oh, dear friend, listen to me. Don't you say no to the Holy Spirit of God today. The Bible man was a burden man. The businessman was a boastful man. Look at all I got. Man, I'm going to have to pull these barns down. And I'm going to have to build bigger. Why? Because I'm that good. Because I got the stuff to put in them. Boastful. I've got this. I've accomplished this. I've done this. I find that the busy man, if you'll notice in the last of this passage, it says that he was a buried man.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from the broadcast. Our church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. Our service times are Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 10:45 on Sundays, and 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday evening. Also on Wednesdays, we have our midweek prayer service at 7 and the Awana Clubs for our children. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin broadcast today. God bless you.